You're listening to the A Day in Progress podcast, episode 6.
Welcome to A Day in Progress, the productivity podcast for women working on themselves for themselves. We give you a glimpse into the daily routines of inspiring women, including the morning and evening regimes, productivity hacks, and planning tools that set them up for success. Now here's your host, journalist, copywriter, and editor of agirlinprogress.com, Emma Norris.
Amy Kate Isaacs is a developmental psychologist and the creator of the Mindful Collective, where she takes an entrepreneurial approach to well-being practices. With her unique products and services, her dream is to inspire mindful and compassionate change in young women and the young at heart. I love chatting to Amy Kate about her favorite mindfulness tools and techniques, how she recharges her energy and remains present after a long day of seeing clients, how she sets boundaries in her business, and so much more.
Hi, Amy Kate. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
That's okay. I'm so excited we made it.
Excited to have you on. Yeah, it's been a journey, but we got there. I'm so excited to have you. So you are a developmental psychologist. So talk us through what that means, what made you decide to get into it, and I suppose just sort of the journey that led you to launching the Mindful Collective.
Well, psychology in general is quite diverse. And so there are different types of psychology. Clinical psychology is the one that a lot of people know about, but there are other types as well, and developmental is one of them. And we really look at helping people get back to where they feel they need to be on a developmental trajectory. So instead of going, okay, let's focus on symptom reduction and making sure that we are improving how someone is feeling, we kind of take it almost a step further. In that it's okay, you're feeling a bit better now, but what about your job? Like, is this something that inspires you? Is this something that is really wholesome for you? And looking at other aspects of life to try and make sure that although we help someone with their mental health, we're also helping their well-being further than that. And that's the perspective that I really liked about developmental psychology. We're really known for working with kids who have developmental difficulties, whether it's learning, ADHD, that sort of thing. But as you know, I kind of landed and was really inspired working with women. And so I've taken it, I suppose, down that bit of a different path.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm so excited to talk to you because I know, you know, you're so much about mindfulness and self-care. Mm. And also, you know, it sounds like with the developmental psychology, it's not just about being okay. It's about being, you know, better than okay and living your best life.
Yes. And that really came to me through masters. So when I was studying my masters, it was very full on, and we were told at the beginning of the course, no one has done this while working. So if you're working even like casual or part-time, you won't graduate on time. And we have one person graduate each year, da 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 da. And I'm very much the kind of person where if someone tells me that something's impossible, I'm like, oh, you'll find that it's not, actually.
I don't know about that.
So I did it, and I worked as a boarding supervisor with girls at a boarding school in Brisbane and kept going. I will say that potentially I could have taken a bit of pressure off myself and not pushed myself so hard.
Don't we all?
Yes, I probably lost a little bit of sanity towards the end in that I was so goal focused that my husband tried to propose to me and I hurried him up so that we could get somewhere. that's very much my that's how I was at the time, and yes. Luckily I'm not like that now. I am able to stop and smell the roses now. But that was probably 2 days after my thesis was due, so working with girls in that capacity at the boarding school, and then just my own experiences, I realized how much women are not given the tools that we would benefit from. And whether it's in school, whether it's at uni, whether it's parents handing down their strategies that they use that might not work for someone else, I just thought this is an area where there's so much misinformation. Like, we can't all just go and have a bubble bath and suddenly we're feeling amazing.
Yeah, that would be self-care myth, isn't it? Like, oh yeah, just have a bubble bath, and, like, paint your nails and it'll be fine. Like, no, usually there's deep issues going on in the bubble bath.
That's right. Yeah, so that became the Mindful Collective. And through uni, in one of my interesting moments in the first year, my now husband had said to me, oh, you know, we'd met recently, and he said, oh, why don't you try meditation? I'll never forget the look that I gave him. I just looked like I could spit fire at him. And I was like, are you saying that I'm stressed? And he was like, yes, I am, actually. And I think this might help you because it's really good for me. And I bat back at him about, you know, how that's completely incorrect and it doesn't work anyway and it's a bunch of woo-woo and it doesn't matter. And then I started looking at the research to back myself up and found that I was incredibly incorrect. And that's when I got into it, because I thought, okay, if I'm going to survive this thing within an inch of my life on by doing what I want to do, which is finishing on time, I have to have something that grounds me. And yeah. I have never stuck with a meditation regime like I did during that time. Yeah. But also I did meditations that I liked, and I found ways of meditating that suited me in my morning routines rather than actually having a meditation time, because yeah. that didn't yeah. always work with the time pressure.
Yeah, and that sort of leads us into your morning. So, yeah, I want to get a bit more into your, like, your meditation and the tools that you use. But let's start with, what time do you normally get up in the morning?
Usually at 10 to 6.
Okay.
I like to get started, yeah, just before 6 o'clock, because it gives me a hilariously false sense of being ahead of myself. So
yeah, well, you're probably ahead of most people. I mean, I don't know what time most people get up, but yeah, I feel like that's quite early. And do you wake up with an alarm, or are you sort of naturally waking up?
I wake up with an alarm, but often I do wake up before the alarm. I'm a 9 hours girl, like yeah. hardcore 9 hours.
Yeah,
exactly.
I can't do without it. I'm like, oh, I haven't had my 9.5 hours on.
Yes, that's right.
Really doing it tough.
Yes, many people tell me that if I have kids that I will find that difficult, but it's always been a priority of mine. I realized pretty early on, I think it was probably about year 12, that if I didn't have my sleep, I was not the person that I wanted to be. And so I had to prioritize it. And so the whole way through since then, sleep has been an absolute priority. And so I am an early to bed girl, but yeah, I'm also early to hop up.
Yeah, what time do you normally go to bed?
About 9, a bit before, if I can get away with it. But with maps on recently, it's just been, you know, can't quite get to bed as early as I'd like sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's the very first thing you do when you wake up? Like, are you a hop out of bed straight away as soon as the alarm goes off kind of girl?
Yes, definitely. I do not like staying in there. I think I read a study in a book when I was in year 12 saying that if you stay in bed, it's harder to get up, and I don't like making things more difficult for myself if it's not productive. So
I feel like if you get past, like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, then it just, like, is infinitely harder. I even put my alarm on the other side of the room, but I still find it hard to, like, I'm blaming my boyfriend for that, because he's a stay in bed kind of, like, he likes to dawdle in bed. Whereas I just by myself, I will get up.
Yes.
Is your partner up at the same time as you?
No, so Tom does shift work, and so it really depends on where his schedule is, but he is definitely a dawdler as well. He has to have about 3 different alarms that go off, and so if he's getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, safe to say I'm not so keen on the multiple alarms, but we get there.
I'll bet. Once you're up, what's the first thing you do in the morning?
Turn off the alarm and then take usually one just really deep breath, sometimes with an amazing sense of, like, today's about to happen. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about my job that I love what I do. And so it's like, I'm in it.
Yeah.
It's just happening now.
That's probably why you find it so easy to get up, because you're like, yes, let's do this.
Woo, another day. Yes, that's generally the way that it rolls in the morning. I don't do a formal meditation. My meditation is actually part of my skin routine. So it's I use a Lumi spa. Yeah, I use a Lumi spray on my face in the morning, and it's 2 minutes, and it clicks and tells you where you're supposed to go on your face, and which is great.
Is it like a roller thing? Hopeless.
It's a I don't know how to describe it. Essentially, it's like an I think it's not an exfoliator. Apparently, that's a terrible way to describe it, but it's that kind of idea.
Oh, is it the thing? It's got like a rotating sort of head. It's like a
That's the one.
Oh, so so it tells you like what spots to do, or like how long to spend on each spot. Like how's it work?
Yeah, so it's 30 seconds on like your cheek, like one of your cheeks, and then it will move 30 seconds around your chin and your nose, and then 30 seconds on the other cheek, and then your forehead. So it's really, because it's such a weird sensation, it's a really good focus and an anchor for a meditation. And I notice that if I'm stressed, I'll start feeling a lot of tension around my temples and around my forehead. And so by using that, I can really focus on relaxing those muscles and relaxing my head and shoulders, and then just breathing with it. So for 2 minutes, I'm really focused on that as my anchor.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I've got a similar thing. I recently got, I mean, it's not as high tech, but I recently got one of those rose quartz rollers, like the same thing. And I'm not so much into crystals yet, but I find so much tension in my face that it's just a really nice like massager, and also just like a mindful kind of activity. Like, you know, I can sit there with my eyes closed and like just take some time. I think things like that.
Yeah,
a few people have said that I've spoken to on the podcast already, like they don't have a formal mindfulness routine, but they do little things like that. Like we had someone who, like, washing the dishes is her mindfulness. It's like those everyday activities can be mindful as well.
That's it. Anything that is particularly sensory is really great for using as an anchor, because it makes it, where obviously the aim of meditation is not actually to empty the mind, it's to have an anchor and be able to focus, which is why it improves productivity so much. So by having that focus and having it being something that you like to focus on, so many people rush straight to an anchor of breath, but if someone has a bit of an anxious disposition, we know that that can actually accelerate anxiety rather than bring it down. And so that's often not very helpful. That's it. And that's why in the clinic, we've got nail polish that's really good for nails, and it's vegan. It's just beautiful. We've got iced tea of different flavors, and everyone votes on Instagram what flavor they want for that month.
Oh my God, I want to go to your clinic. Shame I'm not in Brisbane.
I know.
It sounds amazing.
It's great. And the aim of it is to make it not a psych clinic, not having that vibe. Yeah. But also having things like scented candles and just stuff that helps us be mindful, where it's not, okay, we need to do a mindfulness exercise right now.
More intuitive.
Focus on nothing. Yeah. Something that people want to focus on. And nail polish is fantastic for that, actually, because you can't move. So you just have to sit there and just be mindful of what's going on around you. And that's really more my style of mindfulness.
Yeah, I find even, because I'm rubbish at painting my nails, but I find like going to do things like getting my nails done, like getting a facial, getting a massage is good, because it forces me to not be on my phone. It's like the only time I'm not on my phone. And like it actually forces you to, you know, sit with your own thoughts for a bit, which I feel like doesn't happen very often, you know, for most of us. Unless we actively.
That's right. Yes, unless it's a planned thing. Yeah. We also have a disconnect box where people put their phones in, shut the box. My iPhone, everything's in there.
I love that. And that's something that people could do themselves at home. Like they could, I mean, I guess it kind of has to, I mean, you could put your phone in your drawer, but like you feel like you still have to have the willpower though to not, you know, just get it out. But I guess if you have to go an extra step and actually get your phone out of a box or a drawer and turn it back on, it's like, it probably stops you from doing it as much.
Yeah, it changes the automatic part of the process that we're developing intensely at the moment in our culture, where we just constantly have our phone as part of our hand.
And so actually that's a good point. What time in the morning do you check your phone? Like, do you have a set point, like I won't check it before this time, or like how do you do that?
Definitely depends on what day it is in the week. So my routine is more split up depending on whether it's a clinic day or a home day or versus a weekend day. Now my weekends change completely. I like this weekend just gone, worked the entire weekend.
Yeah.
That's definitely my style, because Tom was working. So it's a really nice time to be working at home because it's really quiet.
It's kind of good because you're like, oh, you know, you don't feel like you're missing time with your partner because they're not there anyway.
Yes.
You don't feel like,
yeah, that's right. About it. And we happen to not have a whole lot scheduled over that weekend. So I thought, this is great. I'll get things done.
How often are you in the office compared to at home?
So office at the moment is 2 days a week, but we're about to kick it up to 3 days a week, which will be fun. So that's generally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the other days, Monday and Friday, are doing coaching from home.
That's so nice. I'm days in my, like, yes. Like bookend the week with that. That's really nice.
Yes, it's really lovely. And it means that I can be anywhere else in generally Australia. Being anywhere else in the world can get a bit confusing when you've only left on a Thursday night, but can be anywhere else and still see my coaching clients and still keep them on track whilst also having a bit of extra time to do some other things and be in other places.
Yeah. And so do you, I guess your routine then would change a lot depending on whether you're at home or in the office. Do you still try and have like a similar morning routine even if you're just working from home?
Yes, I still like to get dressed and I love pajamas maybe on a weekend, but I'll still change pajamas, which kind of defeats
me. I have my loungewear and my pajamas. I was like, last night I was like wearing like trackies and I was like, I'm going to put my pajamas on. And my partner's like, are you not wearing pajamas? What is this if not pajamas?
Like, no, that's a good way of putting it.
Pajamas.
This is my loungewear.
Yeah. I feel like getting changed though, you know, it does make a big difference. It feels like
And I love being up early in the morning and this sense of, I often put stories up online actually of just that sense that you are up before other people and you're getting settled and getting a plan going. I love that sense of feeling like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do today. Yep. But as far as checking my phone in the mornings, I do check it. And that's partially because of my job. And so although we have a work mobile, Nikita, my amazing admin guru, will message me if something has come in overnight that is a bit intense. So usually there's nothing. Usually there's not a whole lot going on. But for example, weeks like we've just had, there's a lot going on all at once. And so checking my phone helps me subconsciously prepare for what's going on. I might not be consciously thinking, okay, I need to do this, this, and this, but I know that my subconscious is mulling over it then.
Yeah.
But I do that mainly on work days. So I don't really do that other days.
Yeah. And how do you plan out your days? Do you use like a planner or an app?
Yes, I love my planner. I am so in love with my planner. I take it with me everywhere. Everyone sees it because I think it's so intuitively clever. It is the Day Designer planner. So they make them over in the States and they're just so beautiful. So the strategic planner and daily agenda for living a well-designed life. And they research, which I love research. They research a lot of different productivity hacks and how people work and what helps people sustain a planner. I've never sustained one until I came across these ones. And now I've sustained them for about 3 years.
Wow.
I really love it because it's got the to-do list on it. And I love ticking things off a to-do list.
Yeah, same.
So I have it all planned out on Monday and sometimes on Sunday. But I like to, given that my week kind of feels like it kicks off on a Tuesday, Monday I sit down and plan it all out like I did this morning. And I know what I'm in for the week and what I need to prepare for. And yeah, it helps me feel really on top of things.
Yeah, I don't feel on top of things unless I have it's even just a vague idea of what tasks I'm going to do on what day. Otherwise, I just feel like all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I don't like it when I am not sure what I'm doing. I like to have a really good plan.
Yeah, definitely. And so do you have breakfast in the morning?
Yes, I have a shake, usually with some fruit in it as well. So it's kind of like a protein shake and then I pop some fruit in and then head straight to work. So I actually make it the night before, which with this particular type of shake you can do.
Organized.
In the mornings when it's a work day, because I start seeing clients at 7:30 in the morning, so I need to be there at 7. So, and to set up and make sure everything's organized and make sure the iced tea is okay and all the little things that I like doing.
Yeah.
And Yeah, it helps me feel really centered once I'm in the space. So I'm actually more likely to do a formal is a strange word, a meditation practice in the mornings when I've gotten to work or when I'm in my home office rather than beforehand, because I like that feeling settled.
Yeah,
that's just feeling really centered in the space and settled is great.
Do you use an app or do you just do it yourself?
I actually switch between different things depending on what I need at the time. So the very first meditation practice I ever really got into that clicked with me was one by Melissa Ambrosini, and it was on Move, Nourish, Believe.
Yeah.
And so if I'm really finding it a bit tricky, I'll actually Google that one. And you have to Google it because it's so far back.
Yeah. Is Move, Nourish, Believe, is that Lorna Jane's side?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's still around. So,
yeah.
But it's like an older one on there. Yeah.
Yeah, very, like we're talking probably maybe 6-7 years.
Wow, it's your go-to.
So, there's a sense about it that I think it's the audio and you can hear a few things in the background. And it was almost that sense of coming home when I first started listening to it and was like, this is why I hated meditations, because I didn't hear ones that are about gratitude and forgiveness and self-compassion. And that's what I really like about it, is setting yourself up for the day in more ways than just the space, but yourself as a person and forgiving yourself for anything that's happened the previous day and getting into it and really starting feeling good about yourself. Otherwise, certainly in most people's work, it will rub off on other people if we don't feel content within ourselves.
Especially with what you do as well, like, you know, you have to be so present for the people, you know, your clients, like, I guess you have to really be in a good state of mind as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's very, very clear if I am not, and to the point that I've actually got some time in the day scheduled, about an hour and a half, where I will actually have a nap.
I was going to ask you about that. How do you recenter? Yeah, because you know, it must be, I mean, I know you love what you do, but it must be to an extent, like, not energy draining, but you are taking on a lot of other people's energy. Yeah, so is that how you recenter and get back into that good state of mind?
Absolutely, and it's all in the design, and that's where a lot of my life and the reason that I am doing what I'm doing is because I want to achieve a particular purpose with women, but also I really want to model that it's possible to live a well-designed day. A well-designed life's a little bit of a long shot in that we don't know.
We can't design everything. Not everything in our control. Hey, but we can control our day, and, like, you know, that adds up to the sort of bigger picture, I guess.
Yes, and a huge amount of satisfaction. And the ladies and a few of the guys that I hang out with, they know that I do this. Like, it's not some cheeky secret where I go and have a nap. Like, if someone asks me, like, oh, what have you been up to today? I'll say, oh, I actually just had a nap and I'm feeling really good now. And it's because I'm definitely not a pretentious person, and I don't think that I'm more learned than anyone else. It's more that I have training in a very specific area, and that makes me good in that area. But I like to use that information for myself.
You practice what you preach as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And how do you
that's very important.
Yeah. How do you make sure that you're not just groggy after your nap? Like, do you, like, set a timer for, like, I don't know, 25 minutes? Or, like, do you have a coffee before? I've heard all, like, different things to make sure your nap actually energizes you rather than just makes you feel like you're on another planet when you wake up.
I have never really found that I feel like I'm on another planet when I wake up. I've always been a very good napper, where I wake up feeling quite energized. But again, part of it is I wake up and I know in half an hour I'm doing my job. So it's kind of, you snap back into it anyway. Yeah. But I also take Evie for a walk before our afternoon people come in. And so I'm then outside in the sun, walking around with her, usually holding her because it's too hot on the pavement for her to walk.
Yeah, what breed is Evie?
She's an Italian greyhound.
Ooh.
So one of the little greyhounds.
Yep. Yeah, they're so cute. They're such, like, interesting looking dogs, but they're so cute. They're like
they're so funny. Yes, we get all sorts of things. We've had people ask if she's a kangaroo. We've had people ask if she's a long-legged chihuahua. Sorts of interesting combinations.
I wanted to ask you, just to backtrack a little bit, so do you have much of a commute to your office?
snow, again, part of the design. So I actually live within walking distance of my office.
Very nice.
And that has ended up not being particularly sustainable because obviously part and parcel with the job, sometimes people who come in to see me, their relatives don't like what I'm doing with them, particularly if they're in an abusive situation. Unfortunately, we had someone floating around who was attempting to follow me home.
Oh,
and so we're now moving.
Your office is, yeah.
Yes. And so if you follow me from my office, you will find my home.
Oh my God.
Yes. So luckily we're in an apartment complex, and so yeah, they don't know exactly where we are, but we are moving now so that there will be about a 10-minute commute, but yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Driving or?
Yes. Yeah. Back in the car.
Yeah. And do you like to listen to music when you drive? Or like listen? I mean, 10 minutes isn't really long enough to, I was going to say listen to a podcast or something, but do you have other times in your day that you listen to any podcasts or music?
Yes, I will actually listen to them in the morning and then on the way to work. And then when I get to work, start it again. And sometimes that will be my meditation practice if it's something that I'm really intensely wanting to focus on. And if there's something interesting in the audio particularly, I'll focus in on that. So that's my way of bringing someone else's perspective and way of seeing things into my morning so I get into the game. I also love music. Almost anything. And so I love just popping on a random, like just not even looking, chucking something on Spotify and then being surprised by what I hear. My suggested list is pretty diverse.
Yeah, I say I have an eclectic taste in music, but then I like just listen to the same things like every day. But it's just the things that I listen to are like pretty diverse.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite genre?
I like stuff that's really uplifting and really poppy, I guess, but I really love R&B. I sometimes will stumble across an Irish ballad that I think sounds cool. When Nikita comes to work in my home office with me, sometimes I think it's potentially a little bit too eclectic.
Like, okay,
yeah, that's right. I'm finding it hard to concentrate. And I do find it hard to concentrate, as you do, as I've heard, when I'm writing.
Yeah,
so I can't listen to stuff with lyrics or stuff that I know really well. Otherwise, my train of thought goes to that, into what's being said rather than what I'm writing, which is great for my job. I do remember what people tell me.
Yeah. Although I have found something I can listen to while I work. I've since found something. Mm-hmm. So there's it's like a digital radio, but there's also like a playlist on Spotify, Buddha Hits. And it's just,
oh, that's what we listen to at work.
So I can work and listen to that, I found, because I feel like now I will know more of the song. So maybe it won't work as well because I've been listening to it a bit. But like, I feel like I don't know the song. So it can kind of just be like nice background noise, but it's not distracting. So yeah, and it's so like nice and chill. I really like it.
Oh, lovely.
Got to find something that works. And so do you normally take a lunch break, or like, I don't see you as an eat at your desk kind of girl.
Well, I sometimes will have a smoothie again in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And so I will take it with me if I'm going somewhere. Sometimes I will eat at my desk with it, but I do try and at least be standing upright just because I sit down. So I might be standing at my desk, staring intensely at a wall, just scull it back. We also have a stunning window as well that just has these beautiful trees outside. So I will often just have a bit of a zone out moment staring out there and drinking my smoothie. But yeah, and then I do have some snacks later in the day. I'm a solid snack girl.
What do you snack on?
It depends on what I'm feeling like at the time, but usually it's some sort of fruit combination with yogurt and or like protein powder wafer things.
What's that?
They're really easy to just throw back. I should remember the name of them, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think they're
called eye snacks or something.
Oh, yum. That sounds good.
Yeah. So they're just chocolatey flavor, but I find that I do stay fuller for longer. And if I'm really struggling, I'll have some little powder that I pop in and drink that just helps to rehydrate me, because that's a big thing, being in air conditioning all day, listening to people and taking on that energy. is the hydration. I really feel that if I'm really well hydrated, it's so much easier to keep going and to keep being entirely present, which is the definite aim of my job. I need to be just as present for the person I see at 5 o'clock than I do for the person I see at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Mm. Do you drink coffee?
I have one coffee on work days.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah, that's good. And what do you drink?
A dirty chai.
Oh, so yum.
One shot, yeah, in the chai with almond milk.
Have you had an iced dirty chai?
Yes.
That is the best in summer.
I love them so much. I was getting them for a while, but the air conditioning in our practice can get so cool that I ended up just reverting back.
Yeah.
But the
you don't want cold things in your throat. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's right.
And so what does your fitness routine look like?
That is really interesting at the moment. So I have just started going to see a physio because I noticed that my core strength is really not where I would like it to be. It's actually been like that my whole life. I've never actually learned how to hold myself. And being a bit of an efficiency queen, I thought I was just finding it really hard to, I used to go to the gym a lot. And one of my best friends was my trainer. We became friends that way. And then I just lost, she moved out and she's now doing her own thing externally. And I just found it hard to really connect with another space. I found this amazing yoga, Pilates and meditation center, which fits me in every sense, but they had a leak. And so they had to close the practice. Aww. And it was such a shame. So
it wasn't meant to be
at home yet. Yeah. I only got to go a few times. So I decided to go from an efficiency perspective so that it's sustainable for me, because that's one of my values. And I really, really am enjoying it, that it's really hard work and the physio is really fun to work with, and it's one-on-one at the moment, and we're going to go into groups soon. But I have my own program. I work on that twice a week, and then generally I'll try and get out for a bit of a walk or just to get out into the sunshine a couple of times a week as well. And usually that's not particularly intense, but usually it's got an aspect of carrying a very small but very wiggly dog. And so that adds to the resistance part of it.
Yeah. And with your physio, is that like sort of mainly like Pilates style training?
Yes. Yeah. Because
that's so good for you. Like I did my, I had done Pilates, but I did like not for ages. I went to a class a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, this won't be that hard. It is so hard if you don't have like a lot of core strength. Crazy.
Absolutely. And just the way that you hold your body, I was having a joke with her last week and I was like, but this is so hard. I can't do this when I'm stationary, let alone when I'm moving.
Yeah, the balance.
I mean, that's the point.
I know. But you can see how it would be really effective if you like keep at it. But man, that first class, like my stomach was just like, my whole body was like shaking when I was trying to like plank.
Yeah.
Hard work.
It's so unfair. They've got these hilarious stairs that you've got to go up and down to get into and out of the practice in the Pilates room. So at the end of it, I'm walking down these stairs holding onto the railing for dear life because I didn't know.
That's when you know it's good. Yeah.
That's right.
You've worked hard.
It was just so rewarding. I really enjoyed it. And it's fun. Like you're slipping around, you're doing these trapeze things, and it just feels not like you're exercising, which is great for me.
That's what you need. And so what time do you normally head home from the office?
About 6:37.
And
so really long days.
Yeah, that is a long day. So what time do you normally get there, did you say?
7 in the morning.
Oh, yes. That's almost like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I only do it 2 or 3 days a week. Otherwise, it would not be sustainable. The recommended amount of people that a psychologist should see in one day is 5 to 6.
Yeah.
I obviously do more than that. But the way that I've done it is that I still can be present with the person at the end of the day as much as I can be at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
Because I have that big gap in the middle.
Yeah. Even just like, you know, having protein and like having your nap, like it sounds like you're very proactive about making sure that you're keeping your energy high. You're still feeling present.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes I'll have a little, if I've had some really intense news from someone in the morning, I will actually have a mini dance party with Evie or by myself, depending if she's there yet or not, and just having a bit of fun and being a bit silly and listening to something super nostalgic. And I'm so fortunate that no one from the new practice has walked in on me doing that yet.
Oh my God, I was going to say, great. That would be hilarious.
It would be so funny. They would not be remotely surprised.
Yeah, you're like, this is me.
That's right. Yeah, they would definitely not be surprised. But it just helps me to shake that energy so that I'm holding space for the next person and I have as much space available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are you normally listening to, like, not when you said nostalgia, is that like 90s kind of?
Yes, like Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears. And
so
they're so fun to listen to.
And so do you have a, like, a bit of an evening routine? Like, do you sort of have dinner at the same time every night?
Dinner generally varies because I like to have it at about 5:30 if I'm not at work.
Yeah.
So when I am working, it's a lot later. I do meal prep at the beginning of the week just so that when I come home on Tuesday and Wednesday, it's all sorted, because I just don't have time to do it otherwise. And so I generally have it at about 7:30. And I have a pretty stringent routine, actually. I get home from work and I have a shower. And that helps me, again, go, okay, the day's happened, wash it off. Yep, that's right. And anything that lingers with me, I'll do a brain dump and just write it all out after my shower so that I can have it there for the next day and evaluate whether it's something I do need to be worried about or follow up, or whether it's potentially something that I'm just cautious of. And then, or an idea, ideas come to me so much in the shower. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. So I like to write them down and get them out, but so that I can have a bit of chill out time. And then generally, if Tom's home, we will watch something on TV as just our veg out time. He's got an interest in criminology. And so we both like going to criminology lectures and learning about how people work, but it's not in a way that's particularly relevant for my job, because I don't generally work with criminals. I work with other people. And so
it's so interesting.
It's just a way to chill out.
Yeah.
Very. Like, and I love home reno shows.
Yeah, I know. They're like guilty pleasure. I mean, I feel like it's not like the worst thing you could watch either. There's a lot of worse reality shows than home reno, I feel like.
Yes. There's a lot. I think that one thing that I have really learned about self-care is that if we understand why we're doing something, it becomes much more effective. And in my job, I don't get a sense of completion, because when people start doing well, it's like, okay, off you go, like, go fly.
Yeah.
We do have that conversation. So often we do get to have that moment of like, we did it, go team. And they've done such an awesome job, and they're just, I'm so impressed and think everyone's awesome and get really excited.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because my aim is to put myself out of a job. And then come home. That's it's not a sustainable business model.
One of the only, I guess, industries where that is the goal.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess I like working in prevention. Well. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. We're trying to prevent anyone from needing to come in the first place, which is really good. I love that part of my job.
Yeah. But I guess you don't get that, like, ticking off kind of. That's actually what I wanted to ask you about next. How do you set goals? Do you have, like, monthly goals?
Well, I'm very project based. Mm-hmm. So part of my goal setting is around with clients, it's their goals. And so we're able to tick things off as we go, and we have very tangible goals, so we know when we've achieved them. And then in the other side of my business, with the coaching and going and speaking and doing all sorts of interesting programs, that's where it's more goal-oriented. And so I use Asana, my whole team uses Asana, and we all tick things off as we're going. We all love ticking things off because the unicorn pops up and runs across your screen, and it's so exciting.
I haven't had the unicorn lately. I was like, I think someone else
needs
the unicorn. I must have to change my settings, because I haven't been getting the unicorn, and it's not as exciting.
No, and that's almost a point. Punishment.
I know. It's like, you did a good thing. Well, no unicorn for you.
Yep, that's right. You are not getting
the unicorn. I have to change that.
So I love that. I love the unicorn on there. It's such a small thing, but I love ticking things off the list. So It is. So being mindful of where we're going is really useful.
Yeah. Mm. And do you have, so you have, I guess, your client goals and then your own sort of personal goals as well. Do you have like goals within like business, health?
Definitely. Life. Yeah, life in general.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I love it. And so do you have any other apps that you use? Like, I don't know, it could be like mindfulness app or like productivity app.
As far as productivity goes, not really.
You're already on top of that. You don't need any app. That's why it sounds of it. You're like, but one thing we haven't really spoken about is social media. And I know like it is probably, you know, a part of what you do, but are you on social media during the day, or would that be too much, too draining dealing with that and, you know, your clients as well?
I'm on it quite a lot. So when during the day, I'll have it on me in that break, and it's more of a checking to see. So if someone new is coming in and they're like, oh, I'm not entirely sure where you are in High Point, like they can message me. And so then I'll respond and say, hey, I'll meet you at the front at the cafe. Just grab a coffee. I'll be there. Da, da, da. Other than that, I generally go on it because I love my feed.
Yeah.
I love, and not like my feed, but as in what's in your, what I choose feed. To follow.
Yeah.
I love
your feed though.
<It's very> Oh, thank you. I've just taken over doing it myself this year, and that's been hilarious. A huge learning curve, but I'm finding it really great for creative expression and sharing what I'm thinking. But I really love, and so going to my feed is actually really inspiring, and I'll come up with new ideas and just a bit of time to reconnect with some of the people that I kind of know online, even though I've met them in person. They're not necessarily clients, but they're people that I connect with. And so by checking in with them as well, it can be really grounding.
Mm. Yeah. That's really nice. And do you feel like you sort of, it sounds like you have a pretty healthy relationship with social media. Like, are you someone who has to actively try to like not be on your phone at night?
Sometimes. I mean, I do sit on it while I'm watching TV. So to get that sense of completion in my life, I'll watch something like a home reno that actually has a sense of completion while I'm on something like Instagram, which is never ending. So that doesn't entirely create a clear picture, but it does. I do find that it's really helpful to have that sense of completion, but I love to just be on there and chatting to people and contributing to conversations. And I think some people think that psychologists should not be doing that, but, and I don't frequently talk to clients on there because then it does blur the boundary between what's a therapy conversation and what's a random admin conversation. But I'm definitely not contactable 24/7 on there. And we make that extremely clear to everyone who comes in that you might get me, but you also might get Nikita responding on there. It's not a private platform. Like, so we try and remind everyone of that. But it's just, my friends would probably say that I'm on it a bit much sometimes, particularly if we've got all of our dogs together, because I'll be taking so many hilarious videos and pictures of them. But If it's not dog related, I'm pretty good at just putting it away, and unless something drastic is happening.
And
I need to be on it. But I don't have emails on my phone. That's a big
thing for me with work. Yeah, boundaries. Yes. I know you're really good at setting boundaries. I know that when you email you is it an autoresponder that says like when your hours are? Yeah, I love that. So yeah, tell me about some ways that you set boundaries between home and life and business.
That's probably the biggest one, is because when I'm not actually at the clinic, I'm not there. So even if people rock up, I'm not there. So I don't know. And Nikita isn't there either. So neither of us know.
Yeah.
Whereas with being online, people email me. And because a lot of health professionals won't allow clients to email them directly, whereas I think that's really important for the way I run my practice. Yeah. But it does sometimes give people the illusion that I will respond straight away.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's to try and make it clear that I will not be responding straight away. I will respond when I can. And it's generally within 2 business days. I often respond much faster than that. And I have been caught up before responding on a Saturday or a Sunday, and instead of hitting to put it in my drafts to send later, I send it straight away. And I've had a couple of clients email back and say, naughty.
Yeah.
What do you do on your email on the weekend?
Yeah. I'm the same.
Particularly if I have something I really want to put some thought into.
Yeah.
I want to take my time responding and reflecting before I send it. And so it's nice for a weekend like I've just had where I am working over the weekend to really think about what I want to say and have it in my drafts ready to go on the Monday in case I want to change it or add something in. But that's a really big one because people know straight away and I don't have to worry that they will be responded to, but it won't necessarily be straight away.
Yeah. And they know that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And other things are, I think because I use social media the way that I do, particularly with our stories, people, if I'm putting up a photo of Evie, it's very rarely a photo myself, it's usually Evie or some beautiful view or something, a quote. But if I put up a photo of Evie at my parents' house, I will actually say, like, at grandma and grandpa's house. And so people know, they are reminded that I'm a psychologist and I'm also a person.
Yeah,
and I have other things going on. Absolutely. Yeah. And when I'm having something difficult go on in my life, we recently had a death in the family. I was very upfront about we've had a death in the family. And so my auto response changed to something is happening in my family at the moment. Well, it was worded more professionally than that, but we've had some family issues. And so having to take some time to, time out for myself and pointing out that this is a self-care thing. It's not that I hate my job. I adore my job, but in order for me to continue doing that, I need to not be burnt out. So I need to look after myself as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like there's lots of things that you do, to do that. You're very conscious of that. I wanted to go back to your evening routine. So do you have a sort of pre-sleep sort of wind down routine?
Yes, I put on the diffuser. I love diffusers. I just think they're so beautiful as creating a really nice environment and a good sensory indicator that something's about to happen.
Yeah.
So put on the diffuser, clean my teeth, and then usually just go straight to bed. So it's a pretty quick routine, but it's the same every night. I always put the diffuser on, I always clean my teeth and go to bed. If I'm in a different environment, I was recently in Tassie, I don't have to have a diffuser, but when I'm at home, I really like to have that routine. And the other part of my routine that comes before that is totally hilarious and very odd. I have a Nesquik, a chocolate Nesquik. Love it so much. And so one night, a couple of weeks ago, we'd run out. And so luckily Tom had finished work really late. So I text him and I was like, I can't sleep. I haven't had my Nesquik. And he was like, you know that this is in your mind, but I will get it for you on the way home.
Oh, what a keeper. That's amazing. I haven't had Nesquik in so long. That's like your dessert?
Yes. Yeah. I love it. And my dad used to have it growing up. And not frantically like I do. Yeah. I just grew into this habit of having, I can't really do cake, but like a big sweet thing before bed. I used to be a massive dessert person. I'm not anymore, but that's my thing, that it doesn't matter what else is going on, I'm having a Nesquik. I'll be at a friend's house and I'll bring my Nesquik.
How long have you been doing that for?
Oh, my whole life.
Oh, that's so
Yeah. It's a really great, and I can go to sleep without it. Sometimes I'll pull a cheeky and say I can't, but I can. It's more that it just creates that sense of, okay, it's nighttime now. It's all part of that
finishes
routine.
The day. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I find I always need to have something sweet after dinner because it just doesn't feel like finished. But I'm I'm not a dessert like cake person, but I love ice cream. Gotta have my ice cream.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's pretty nice. Nesquik is probably healthier than ice cream.
I don't know. I put a fair bit of the chocolate powder in there and I'm pretty sure it's just straight sugar, but yeah.
I want a Nesquik. you've got me onto it now. Oh, I love that. And what's the very last thing you do before you go to sleep?
Usually I will set my alarm, usually turning my alarm on. I do sometimes. I'm actually more of a day reader. So if I'm going to read, I'll usually carve out a whole day and I'll just be reading the whole day.
Yeah.
Mainly because even if it's like I've been reading Arianna Huffington's Thrive and another book called Mindful Living, and I just get so into them that I start turning them into, oh my gosh, I love that. Like I've got to share that with everyone, and I'm writing things down. It ends up hyping me up instead of bringing me down.
Yeah.
I think if I read, I've tried reading like crime thrillers and stuff, which I love reading, but again, I get too hooked on them and next thing it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh, well, this hasn't gone the way I was hoping it would.
Yeah, they really, like if it's a good one, like they really are hard to put down.
Yes, yes. So I generally don't read at night, but I will, sometimes I'll listen to a meditation. Sometimes I'll do another brain dump just before I go to bed. And I'll always say goodnight to little Eve. So she doesn't sleep with us. Yeah. She has her own bed. So could say goodnight to her, give her a few pats and a bit of a cuddle, and then she's good. She, if she doesn't get her cuddle before bed, she gets a bit upset.
It's like your Nesquik, her cuddles.
Yes, your Nesquik. That's right. Yes. So we have our cuddles and then she goes to bed.
Yeah. And what about on the weekends? Like living in Brisbane, is going to the beach a big part of your weekend routine?
Not really. Mainly because of Tom's routine and mine as well. We've really not been spending as much time at the beach, but more with family. We've had a lot of family things happen in the last year or so. Just a really exceptional amount of things happen. Yeah. Plus, Tom was actually away in Canberra for 6 months doing some training last year. So that created a bit of, I had to take Evie with me everywhere that I went because we weren't allowed to have her in our place unattended. Not because she did anything. That was just part of the body corporate laws.
Yeah.
So everywhere I went, she went, and it's made her incredibly well socialized, but it did mean that wherever we went, I had to, if I went to a bar with a friend, it had to be a dog friendly bar. And Evie would sit up on my lap while I'm drinking wine and she'd have her little saying hi to everyone. And
so cute. Yeah.
So we do try and take her, like she goes out with us to a lot of places, but as far as the beach goes, we're trying to get there more this year, but we tend to, if we go, we go for a few days. Rather than just ducking out to the beach and back.
Yeah.
We want to go up to Noosa a bit more this year and up north a little further.
I just got back from there. It was I loved it so much. It's such a nice vibe up there.
Yes, it's just beautiful. And going down to Byron Bay, also love it down there.
Got all the good stuff around you.
Yeah. It's all within about a 4-hour drive right.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, still that's, you know, it's good and it's just such a beautiful
place. Absolutely.
So you've had a lot of family stuff on and you said you work sometimes on the weekend.
Yes. And because of Tom's shift work, he'll generally have four days or 5 days off in a row, but a lot of the other time is really odd hours of work. So when he has those days off, that's when I have my time off as well, and we try and go somewhere or spend a fair bit of time together just doing things locally and taking Evie to strange places that she technically probably isn't, like Indooroopilly shopping center.
Well, it sounds like she's basically a human, so it's fine.
She certainly thinks she is, that's for sure.
Well, amazing. Well, thank you so much. And where can everyone find you on social media?
So anywhere with the Mindful Collective. So on Instagram and on Facebook, and they can email me if they want from the website.
Love it. And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Easy.
Well, thank you so much, Amy Kate. It's been so great actually chatting to you for the first time. We've emailed, and it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast.
And it's been so fun to do. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the A Day in Progress podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. And if you're after more life, career and health advice for women working on themselves for themselves, make sure you head on over to agirlinprogress.com to check us out.